Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Right, we're back. And we are joined by another guest. Finally, it's been a while since we've had a guest on.
Yeah.
We are joined by a good friend of mine from school, Chris Martin. How are you, Chris? You all right?
I'm all right, pal. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, mate. We'll let you start because you went to Bristol City.
Oh, do we have to?
So I'll let you talk about it. I mean, I watched it, but you'll got a better feel for the day and the actual game actually being there. So talk us through it.
Not a right lot happened, to be honest. All of it anticlimactic. Is that a nice word? But no, it was just one of those. Like, we didn't do anything in first half. No. Looked a bit better in second. I think it's quite noticeable that once we actually have the ball, once we actually aim to go forward, we look all right.
Yeah.
But once we go forward, we leave ourselves open at the back. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's one of them, like, when we're tight at the back, we don't do it going forward, but yeah. When we're actually a bit more expansive and like Buckley and Morton are making them forward runs, we're awful going back the way. So,
what it reminded me a lot of? It reminded me of the Gary Boyer days.
Yeah.
Where he'd set up where if he was setting up defensively, you know we're not conceding. Yeah. You also know it's going to be a 0-0.
Yeah.
It was one of those.
It's when I'm like, you can either score four but concede four.
Yeah.
Or you could not score any, but then you'd be tight at the back. Yeah, I know what you mean. Comparing it to the Boyer days, I know what you mean.
I mean, it was one of those. And the thing is, it's like once we were looking forward, we actually looked half decent. Like, that was our best player on the pitch in the second half, but that's without having to do much. You just look to go forward.
He's just always in the right position, though, isn't he? Just like a class apart compared to.
It's you can't really teach that, can you?
No,
it's that footballing brain. I think we struggle with that sometimes because he's thinking two moves ahead. Yeah. And I don't think the squad really. They don't really link up with him.
No.
I like him, and you could just tell he's got the biggest footballing brain in the entire lot. Maybe that's where some of our attacks fall down, because he's thinking two moves ahead and everyone else in the squad isn't that quick, isn't as footballing.
It's not just that, but even when he plays the passes, I don't trust the lads on the end of it to get it under and do something weird. Like we saw at the Rotherham game where he's slapping one into Galli and it's bouncing off him going through to keeper, but if you smack one into Dak's feet at pace, he brings it under, turns and gets a touch away, but no one else has got that. I don't know, it's on the half turn, isn't it? I think Buckley's one of our better players on a half turn, but everyone else, it takes them three or four touches to get the ball under and then start moving forward. I don't understand it. Dak, captain, leader, legend, I've put on my notes. We said, whenever we're giving him crap on Twitter saying he's finished and the injury, we always stood by him and said, when he gets fit, he'll be our best player.
So. I never really doubted him. I just had that feeling that once he was properly fit, that, you know, he'd be, I'm going to say back to his best, but I don't think he is back to his best yet. I mean, whether he will actually get back to his best remains to be seen, but he is getting somewhere near to that, and it's great to see.
He's going to be very important for the second half of the season. I think if we get the right players in front of him and shore up as well behind him, I think the playoffs is ours to lose, really. I know people keep saying people can't wait for us to drop out.
It's a big claim, I think.
I know, but people are desperate. They're almost I can't wait for us to go mid-table so we can see how bad we are. Why does it
matter?
Obviously, I don't think we're good. I don't think the squad as a whole. I think the first 11's good enough to get in playoffs, but I don't think we've got the squad depth to compete for the playoffs.
No.
But then I think people are I can't wait for us to drop out players to get so our hopes aren't high. And I just don't understand
I think
that logic.
People are kind of in the mindset of, because they've been so inconsistent, and just the way things have turned out so far this season, people kind of want us to go on that run and for us to drop down the table so that maybe JDT's kind of like exposed and he's like held to the same kind of standing for his performances of a manager. And I don't, to me, regardless of the quality of the championship, you should want Rovers, and regardless of what Rovers have done, the results Rovers have got, you should want Rovers to be as high as possible. Why would you not?
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's daft to want anything else.
It's an I told you so thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we saw it in Morbury with certain elements. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think it was Morbury's time to go. I mean, he's doing well at Sunderland, for by all accounts, good luck to him, but it was his time to go. And you saw similar, but for both ends of the spectrum, it was like if Morbury won, all the, should we say, Morbury fanboys would be out there.
Yeah,
like, obviously,
happy clappers. Yeah, super fans.
But you do see that, and I think with Thomason, maybe over the last couple, since the Burnley defeat, you're seeing more and more. I don't want to say anti-Thomason, but more like, because he'll never be forgiven for that. In some people's minds, he will never be forgiven for that Burnley result.
But I mean, we lost local derbies under Morbury all the time.
This is it. Yeah. Like, this is...
I mean, the worst ones were during COVID when we got beat off Preston at home and we were 1-0 up and cruising and made a couple of subs and they beat us 2-1. And I said, like, if there were 7,000 Preston fans...
We didn't go 1-0 up in that game.
Did we not?
I'm sure we went 2-0 down.
Yeah. Armstrong with a penalty.
Yeah.
Still
lost.
If it was 7,000 Preston fans in the way end gloating, I think it'd have gone then. But I think being behind closed doors helped him in some points during that season.
Definitely. I mean, what was that run we went on in the second half of that season? We were like 2 wins in 16 games.
Yeah,
we didn't win in like 12 games or something.
It was something ridiculous like that, and it got to the point where obviously we weren't actually going to the games. So I just watched it on iFollow.
It made it even worse for some people.
Yeah, I think for me it did. Like, I actually just lost interest. It was that bad.
You had some sort of that apathy towards the club, didn't you? Really?
You just like, I actually at one point stopped watching. I just weren't interested.
Yeah, watching flash scores instead.
And that's the thing. People like point out sometimes in Morbury that, you know, how good the first half of last season was, but really, in normal times, it would have been gone the season before, surely.
Yeah. So like Chris just said then, like, he's doing a good job at Sunderland, but he's invested, I think, a good team.
Yeah.
Like, obviously I know Sims has gone back to Everton now. Has he gone out on loan somewhere else?
But I think he's meant to be going back to Sunderland. They want him back.
So like, for half a season, they've had probably two of the best centre-forwards, apart from like your Sheffield United centre-forwards and... Well, Burnley don't even have a centre forward, but probably the two best attacking players in the league who've, every time they've both scored, they've won. So, and then John Dahl Thomason's coming to Rovers and he's invested a team with no centre forwards, Sam Gallagher on one wing, and
it's not his squad.
Well, it's not his squad, no, but he's having to throw players in like Vale and people are desperate for Markandé to get a chance. He does deserve a chance, but he's not going to go 20 goals a season like Stewart and Sims are. No. So I think if you compare the squads that they both invested, and I think Thomason's been let down by Morbury's recruitment in the past. He's recruited athletes and not footballers. And it comes back to the soldiers and artists thing where Alex Neil, like, people saying, oh, he's playing great attacking football and it's expansive and it's exciting. They've got Ahmed Diallo on loan from United, who United spent $25 million on 18 months ago. And they've got Patrick Roberts, who probably hasn't hit the heights since he went back to Sunderland from Celtic. But at Celtic and as a youngster at City, you could see he had that flair about him. He's going to be an attacking prospect. So he's got the tools at his disposal to go and play that football. Where Thomason's come in, he wants to play out from the back. He wants to play good football. And I think he wants to go to how he played at Malmo, the 4-4-2 with two wingers, get it wide and get a ball in. But we don't have any wingers. We don't have any centre forwards who can head the ball. So how do you play?
No, that's absolutely right. Like, you can see that's what he's trying to do. Like, I understand the frustration with the whole playing out from the back routine. I get frustrated with it because we don't have the players for it. But he's trying to implement that philosophy. You can see what he's trying to do. It's obviously not going to work out because you've got Ayala and Hayam that are playing it out from the back, who are two, well, let's just say they're never going to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
I think you'd, I think if you can get a couple of his own players in that can play that style, you'll see a marked difference. It's yeah. just a case of can we?
I mean, it obviously been, everyone's been speaking about being linked with Porteous, and he is that ball-playing defender. He's a, yeah. He is a bit erratic, and people... you can see on Twitter already we're going to be linked with him, and people are saying, oh, he's erratic, he's met mistakes and stuff. They probably can't wait for his first game where he gives the ball away. They'd be like clawing at his eyes to get him out of the club. But like you said, the alternative is go and sign two ugly centre halves and just head the ball and boot it for 50 minutes. And I'd rather us play out from the back and develop a style of play than, I mean, Van Eck was that player for us, weren't he?
Yeah.
But even playing as a five at the back, when he had Lenihan next to him or Scott Wharton to his right, he's been forced to play through the middle into the midfield all the time. There's no like passing it side to side and keeping possession. So I don't think Mowbray, even playing five at the back, had the tools to do it. So,
But again, it goes back to Thomason inherited a squad that isn't his.
Yeah.
So it's a symptom of the Mowbray era. You've got athletes, not players there. So you're having to teach an entire new philosophy to players that for lack of a better term, they're not used to it.
Yeah.
Because like under Mowbray, we never saw that.
No.
And I think if we remember, I believe it was the COVID season. It might have been the COVID season, actually, the season that got stopped. Mowbray tried to implement that passing football, that quote-unquote better style of football.
Yeah.
And it never worked out because he didn't have the players for it. And every time we got to the 18-yard box, he'd just end up passing, they'd end up either passing it wide or getting tackled.
Yeah.
Which is similar to what you're seeing here, because we don't have the players for it. I mean, I was at Bristol on Saturday. I don't recall us having a shot on target other than the goal. Because whenever we get anywhere near the 18-yard box, it'd either get passed out wide and we'd lose it, or we'd end up passing it back. I believe it was either a free kick or a corner that we got deep into their box. It ended up going back to Kaminsky.
Yeah, I think it's like, that's where you need your wingers. So if they're being compact and sat back and they're narrow, you can get someone out wide, beat a man, get a cross in. That's dangerous. At the minute, we're just playing the ball in front of the defence all the time. Yeah. So that playing out from the back is frustrating.
Yeah.
But I think if you just sign one or two wing... I mean, Dolan's could be that player, but every time he seems to play, he's either playing in the false nine or he's getting the ball out wide and drifting inside and wanting to do stuff. Like, and I don't want you to do that. I want you to get the ball, knock it 10 yards, beat your man and whip a ball into the box.
At the minute, it just feels like the vast majority of our play is all very central, through the middle, too safe, too slow, too easy to defend against. And that is surely what you do to combat that. Like, you bring in some natural width and like... I feel like we sound like a broken record here because we haven't mentioned it that many times, but it's like, I just feel like when we've been recruiting over the last few years, it's very rarely felt like a priority, and that's wrong, because like, we shouldn't be playing Diaz and Galli on wings.
No,
you know, and
there should be two centre forwards and there should be two wingers creating chances for them.
Correct.
And I know it's like very archaic, like 4-4-2, two wingers with a ball in, but I think we've spoken before about Ewood being the biggest pitch in the league. It's the widest pitch. People won't be able to defend against it at Ewood. I just think... So there were a moment on Saturday when I think we had a pinch the ball back or we played it through and Hedges was running down the right and he gets played in and his first touch is on his left foot, which is automatically like forcing him inside. But I think if you're a right-footed player there, you let it come across and your first touch like knocks it in front of you and then you throw on goal. But because he's always having to use his left foot, it's almost like automatically forcing him inside. Where I think a right-footed player takes a touch and drills it along into the bottom corner and probably scores. It didn't look like a chance at the time because he's cut inside by his first touch. But I think if it were at the other end and it were Naki Wells, I think it's a first touch shot and it's like a massive chance.
Well, that's the difference, though, isn't it? Like that's the difference. And I think we're lacking someone like that. Well, maybe someone like a Naki Wells that's just going to... it's the old saying, isn't it? If you don't shoot, you don't score.
Dingle, though, isn't he? Can't beat him.
No. He played about six games for under-21s. He's not really a dingle.
I remember when they signed him, it felt like a massive transfer for them, and it just... Like,
when did they sign him?
It's a while ago now, I reckon.
Because obviously they were in Championship at the time, but who played in front of them? Or was it when they got promoted?
I 2016, 2017, somewhere around like Gary Neville thing. Like,
yeah.
Around 94, 95, 96, beginning 97.
But But yeah, we'll go back to Bristol game. So it's a silly red card for Mayala. I mean, I don't think it's his fault. He's a clever player from Naki Wells.
Yeah.
But it's just such an easy, like, Cal Naismith. It's not even like a creative move. He's just knocked the ball 60 yards over back. It's not even like...
Honestly, I've stood there like absolutely dumbfounded. Like,
has he just done that?
Yeah. It's like, whether he's not read the ball and like it's gone over it, but it just... It came from absolutely nothing at all. I think Naki Wells has like turned, stopped running, and obviously Yala's carried on running and just clattered into him. It's an harsh red card, but...
It's harsh, but at the same time...
It's clumsy.
Like, yeah, it's clumsy. Yeah. And like when you're on a booking, you should be doing that.
No.
Especially
the booking was stupid as well. It was like a nothing tackle. He just booted someone up in air for no reason.
Someone with his experience as well.
Well, that's his first red card for Rovers, that?
Yeah.
It's his first red card in about... 6 years, and his last one with a like a massive 2-footed tackle against Preston, but he won the ball. He got rescinded the day after, so he's not a very dirty red card.
The alternative commentary on that were class, by the way. Referee.
Referee. Check out these bad boys. So yeah, we're desperate for a centre forward. The goal, a lot of people pointing fingers at Kaminski, but it should have been stopped way before it got to Kaminski. Vale should foul him. Yeah. And then Tyler Morton allowing him to cut inside. I'm sorry, that is unforgivable. And that's another more points that he's cost us this season. I know I'm not his biggest fan. I know people probably think I've got an agenda against him, but I don't know if it's just me that only sees it. Everyone else seems to think he's the next Pelé. And he's costing us points like at least every three games.
I mean, it's at the point where it's at the point where you're looking at him sometimes in the team, like, why are you there? What do you bring?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's one of those, I think when he plays well, he plays really well, but that doesn't happen enough.
I just don't think you can win a game in the Championship away from home with Morton and Buckley in midfield.
No.
I think you just need a bit more in there, especially when you're 1-0 up. At 1-0 up, you could have took him off, brought Travis on, maybe even took him and Vale off and left Gallagher and Diaz up top and put three in midfield and have Garrett, Travis and Buckley and let Buckley be the playmaker and then have Travis and Garrett running around kicking people. But
I was just going to say I'd have sooner brought Garrett on, because at least I know he's young as well, but he'll at least put a tackle in.
Yeah,
like it's, I mean,
he wouldn't have let him cut inside and shoot from 20 yards.
Absolutely not, he'd have broke his legs. But that's it. I mean, you look at those options we have in central mid, our best player at the moment central midfield is probably Garrett.
Yeah, like, or Bradley Dack.
Or Bradley, well, I mean, I'd class Dack as, well, more of an attacking mid.
I think he could definitely play there, though.
He can play there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'd love to see Garrett in the team. I understand why he's not there, because he's still learning his trade. He's still younger, still young lad. But I'd have him in over Morton every week.
Yeah, and I think this is where you should be able to rotate, but I feel like we're not able to. Like, you could play Morton and Buckley 1 week, and then Travis and Garrett the next, and then whoever plays better, like, in performances. You like give Garrett 60 minutes, Morton half an hour, but it seems like Morton is starting no matter what. Like, no matter who's played well or who's gone and someone played well, Morton is starting, and I don't agree with it at all. I don't think any loan signing should be guaranteed.
No, absolutely not. It's in his contract. It has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Klopp's seen how Clarkson went last season and gone, right.
But he can't get games at Aberdeen.
No.
And they're awful. They got beat off fucking Darvel the other night. Yeah,
is it not Dom?
Into UK Cup.
I mean, that was absolutely shocking, that, weren't it?
Yeah. That's Tim Goodwin's going to get sacked now. Like, if Clarkson can't get in that team, why can he expect to be?
You think, like, the sixth tier in Scotland, you think about the gulf in, like, quality between England and Scotland. Like, how far down in England is sixth tier in Scotland?
Once you get below the Championship in Scotland, I think, like, League One and League Two and the Highland League, Lowland League, and they're obviously below that. It's like West, East, Lowland. Like, they're below that tier. I don't think there's a massive difference in the tier. And I think that Darwell are quite well financially backed. Like, they've got good facilities. So I reckon they'll have some players being paid to play. They'll probably be like a Macclesfield type at that level.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I was at Clitheroe Macclesfield game the other day. I reckon either one of those would beat him.
Yeah,
but
did Alex play? Alex Curran for Macclesfield.
I think he might have done, actually.
He come. He, well, he lives only lives up road, but his dad might be in tonight. But yeah, I can't remember what we're saying now. I've just interrupted him. Oh yeah, Aberdeen. So yeah, Leighton Clarkson did get the didn't get the game time at Aberdeen, so he's not going to get a game time at us.
No, and that's I agree with that. If you're not good enough to play for us, you shouldn't be playing for us.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Morton's as bad as Clarkson was. I don't believe that's the case. No. But
he's not as good as Harvey Elliott was.
No, he isn't. Like, Harvey Elliott was 10 times the player.
Yeah.
And I don't want us to be seen as... I was talking about this on Rovers Radio when we recorded the other week. I don't want us to be seen as babysitters.
Yeah.
Like, it's all well and good having a good relationship with the likes of Jurgen Klopp and, I know, Ten Hag or whoever it is we want to have a great relationship with. And I'm not against loan players in general. I mean, some can come in and do a great job, but yeah. it's like Harvey Elliott, for example. When he came in, he was our best player by a country mile.
Yeah.
Finished 15th or 16th.
Yeah, I think...
I mean, the rest of the squad weren't good enough, but, like, we shouldn't be putting other Premier League youngsters' development over our own.
Not if they're not as good.
Not as good as
our midfielders. I feel like if we got a Ahmed Diallo, or we're not going to get Harvey Elliott back, he's playing in first team, but if we got a Harvey Elliott level player back on loan, because of the goal contributions and he can win you a game on his own, yeah, then yeah, you play him.
Yeah. There's absolutely indisputable evidence to say this man is better than what we've got.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be a case of, oh, well, he might be on the level of a Travis, might be, but, well, we've signed him now, so we have to play him.
Yeah.
And I mean, in 5, 6, 7 years' time, even if Tyler Morton turns out to be the reincarnation of Steven Gerrard, like, what's that do for us?
I won't be.
No, I don't think. But it's like, but what does that do for us? We're the answer to a Trivial Pursuit question. It's not benefiting us.
Yeah. Mm. It's like when Beckham went on loan to Preston North End, that's all everyone talks about.
It's all Preston.
Yeah. Yeah. Their club's history, that.
Yeah, we had Beckham on loan for 6 months.
You know, they won a league once.
Invincible once, weren't they? When they were 4 teams in league. Played 6 games, went invincible.
That thing is one of them, Russ.
Yeah, alternative commentary came back. People liked it. Some people didn't like it.
I can't please some people, can you?
No, some people just... He's one of them people that would never be happy no matter what, so... I mean, Leah Hessian give it some major traffic. I messaged her and I was like, Leah, please you retweet this. I know your fan base will love this.
Yeah.
And she quoted it and it was like... My form was like... I was like, oh, something's gone on here.
Leah's local celebrity.
Oh, she is, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I wasn't even convinced she existed. Like, I genuinely wasn't convinced.
See, I thought she was from, like, another part of the country, and she was like, you know what, I'm gonna start supporting Black and Rovers on Twitter and see how many, like, followers I can get.
Get a bit of traction.
Get a bit of traction, yeah.
Well, this is it, though. I mean, she seems all right enough. I mean, now we know she exists, and don't want me to be careful.
No, she exists.
Well, I mean...
Has anyone actually seen her in real life?
Welcome. No, but... Nah, I mean, she seems all right. I mean, she liked my picture of being savage. That got me traffic, so go on. Get her a season ticket. Get her on Ewood Express.
Yeah, we have tried to get her on here, but she said she's too shy.
Not real, told you.
So, but she said if we get in the playoffs, she will come on. Well, so that's another reason to want us to win. Leah will be here, in the King Eddie pub, wiping her feet on the way out. Right, Birmingham this weekend. Obviously, it is a cup game. We've changed the team a lot for the cup games we've already played this season. What are you playing this Saturday? Are you going strongest 11?
I don't see why not.
So, yeah. I mean, it's what, 9 days until...
We play Wigan.
Yeah. Wigan at home on a Monday night, so...
Wigan's not a big game. They're in awful form. And I think getting a win in the cup before we play them just makes it...
Yeah, but having said that, you look at the games from now until the end of the season, it's like, I mean, we said we need, what, 9 wins to get
playoffs,
playoff points. And I think you've got to look at those games and say, win. You know, and that Wigan game, got to win.
Yeah, but I still think that you got to play your strongest 11 on Saturday, given the nine days to, you should be back fit enough for 9 days to play Wigan.
Spent match practice, if anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked. I mean, look at Norwich. Like, we played a pretty strong team at Norwich and played really well. I don't see why we can't at the very least give 6 or 7 of them a run out. Maybe stick Pers in goal because he's looked decent when he's played in cup this season.
Yeah.
Maybe give Markenday a run out.
The last thing we want is a replay.
Absolutely.
That's the last thing we want. Yeah. It's a Tuesday straight after, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not want a replay.
I mean, we were just talking about it in car on way up here, like when Rovers announced what the date would be. Put in lads group chat, like, you know, can't wait to be trailing down there on a Tuesday night for a fourth round replay.
Yeah,
that's it. I've already told my boss I'm not in Tuesday night. I'll be there like trying to get like the 3 o'clock night bus from there to office because Northern have decided to strike. Or
I mean, Birmingham have lost the last five in the league, so.
But they could have a decent backing though. I mean,
yeah, they've sold 4,000 already, haven't they?
Yeah, which is. I know it's the cup, I know it's cheap, I know they've put three coaches on, but fair play. I mean,
yeah,
Blackburn's not the nicest place to go
January as well,
in January, which is any time really, but, so I mean, fair play, but yeah, like you said, I think we need to play a stronger side.
Yeah,
maybe give Pers a go, give Mark and Dave
it's a big chance for us getting fifth round at FA Cup's massive for considering we've not been past the third for like the last what, 3 or 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah, but it's been what, 6 years this year since we had the fifth round against West Ham. The fifth round against United,
That was 16-17, weren't it? So that's,
because Collins game on that.
6 years this year, so it's a massive chance for us and get a big. Well, I said the last episode that I didn't want a big tie, I wanted one of the League One teams at home, so we could get even further to get a big tie. But then if you get another home game, you have to come up with a social media thing of ticket prices and the things that the club aren't doing to try and get fans on Ewood.
Yeah,
so how long have you got for that?
This
is something we need to
it's on 5%, so we'll carry on going until it dies. But yeah, it's
something we need to talk about. But
it's been a tough week this week. It's not been a tough week, it was last night and it got announced. So we have to talk about it because obviously it's the thing that Twitter's been going mad over. So last night they announced that for the away game, they're running an Ewood Express bus, which is going to visit a mosque down south before the game, or like a religious centre before the game, museum, like
Cambridge
kind of thing.
Central Mosque or something like that.
And then afterwards they're going to a mosque for food and then getting a late coach back. Which is fine, no problem with it at all. I think it's a great thing that Yassir is doing.
Definitely.
I tried to get Yassir on pod, I tried messaging loads to talk about it. I mean, he knows that I fully support him, and I think everyone fully supports it. I don't think anyone's got a problem with it. The problem that people have is that we have begged and begged for communication and incentives and marketing from Rovers to try and get more people on Ewood, and every time we're just told, oh, it's cheap enough. There's never anything extra. It's just the tickets are well priced. And it's getting to the point now that we're just getting taken for fools every single week.
It's not just about how cheap it is, you know. It's about the accessibility in terms of how it's packaged.
Yeah,
you know, how you communicate it, how it comes across. You know,
so you could say
or interesting it seems to the fans.
You
know,
you could say to Rovers, like, right, next away game, we're gonna go down extra early. I'm gonna go to this pub for dinner and have a few beers, and get back on coach, go to the ground. Then after the ground, I'm gonna go to this pub, have a chat with own fans, and then get back on coach. Our official travel is Ewood ground, Ewood.
Yeah.
You're lucky they stop at services for a pish. And obviously I'm glad that they're getting to do this. I'm glad they're getting it to experience away days. But for the fans that go every week, like yourself, Chris, it must be painful to see it.
It's one of those. I understand where he's coming from, and again, in full support of it. Absolutely, I'll never have a problem with getting the community involved. Absolutely not. But it's that fine line between do something nice, get him involved, and then it's like, well, what about us?
Yeah,
that have been. I mean, we've been going for years. I've seen you at away games. You've seen me at away games. We've all been for years. I don't think we've ever been given anything. I don't think we've even been given so much as free travel for a replay or anything like that.
The last free travel I remember was Stoke away when they'd been promoted. Or they had their first season at Prem.
Yeah,
and we took about 3,000 and...
Yeah, 2008, if that.
Yeah.
It wasn't even under Venky's. That sums it up. Yeah. And it's like, it's that fine line. I think the thing that's wound people up, well, maybe not more than anything, but I think one of the big talking points is the fact that if you do that, it's cheaper than if you go through Rovers.
Yeah.
So not only are you jumping the queue, bypassing all your own ticketing policies, you're providing people food, like sightseeing or whatever it is, and they don't have to pay as much as we do, and we go every week. And like, you're just looking at it, and you're like, "Am I a dickhead?"
Yeah, you know? I'm sure that's what a lot of fans do feel like. They probably look at it and think that's £55. It's a full day out, accosted for like food included, and then you're paying £57 to get dropped at Vicarage Road and right, seen a bit. And I bet they won't get treated like away fans buses do.
Absolutely,
they won't get in police search and like any like sniff of alcohol in your jumper, getting your jumper getting dragged off you or whatever. Be nothing like that. It's just
it's frustrating because there's so much more that can be done.
Yeah,
and there's no reason that it can't be done. There's just how do I put this? It's like we're lacking imagination. Like
it's like I think there's just a lacking effort. I mean, you don't need much imagination, do you? We sit here for 5 minutes and we come up with 10 ideas that improve attendances, but. It's getting to the point now that they've lost that many fans that they need to heavily invest now.
Yeah.
It needs to be like, so some of the things mentioned on Twitter, safe standing needs to be an option.
Definitely.
Like,
definitely.
Overnight, take all the chairs out of NO1 and just put safe standing in.
Yeah.
Right. It costs you a bit. It'll probably cost you £50,000. Just find a couple of players 2 weeks' wages for not performing into it. Do it on Footy Manager all the time. Just find them 2 weeks' wages. Get the money in. Riverside... The very end blocks of the Riverside, get rid of the seats, and I want disabled like plinths like they have at Stoke, halfway up the ground.
Yeah.
I'm sick of seeing people, disabled people, at the front of the Riverside getting piss wet through every winter. Yeah. Like they need a better match experience. They should not be sat at the bottom at Riverside having balls kicked at them, pissing wet through, absolutely freezing. Like there's no coverage for them at all. You could put two ramps up each end at Riverside, but then I want a seat here for the curer, if they have a curer, and then a space for the wheelchair. Seat, space for wheelchair, seat, space, and I want three or four of them plimps at each end of Riverside. And then that's when we come to ticket pricing. Season tickets were the third most expensive in Championship for the cheapest option. And I know around the ground, our average isn't bad because the most expensive is what, like 479 now? In Jack Walker? 499,
I think.
499. But the cheapest is still 429. So for the cheapest option in the ground, we're the third most expensive in the Championship.
And we're in the middle of a cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
No one's paying it.
And this town has never been, since the cotton trade, we've never been a wealthy town. So there's so much more they can do. I was looking at half season tickets this morning. It's £229 for adults, and then like £35 for juniors at Preston. It's £199 for adults, and under 11s are free. Like I just, you look at the ground at the minute. It's so empty. I would make Riverside season tickets £250, and if people want to go and sit in Riverside and pay less, that's fine. I'll still sit in Blackburn End, and I think majority of the people who sit in the Blackburn End who sat there most of their life will still choose to sit in there and then pay a bit more to be sat in the Blackburn End.
Yeah.
Just make it free for kids at Riverside. Just get people in.
People like me and you sitting in the Blackburn End, it just feels right somehow. It just feels like,
well, if you're not sat in your seat, it don't look right.
No.
Even if you see one sit at left or right or a row back or in front, you're like, but the pitch looks different from here.
It's like we like the match day experience. I mean, we mentioned last week about how at half time now they open it up like to outside in the fan zone and that. And like when they started doing that, it kind of felt like, right, that's great. You know, thanks for listening. What else can we?
Yeah.
But then it's just like, no, that's it.
Yeah,
no,
we've done it now.
That's all you're having. You've had something. You know, let's
what more do you want?
Yeah, and be grateful to have it.
Yeah. Yeah, let's have a look at what else we can explore to make it better. You know, but
that was when we were. When we went to Burnley away, we were second in the league and everything was positive and stuff before that result. And I was thinking, oh, the home game in March, if we're still up there, I would love to have like a display in the Blackburn End, like cards up before kickoff and like a big...
big flag.
Yeah, but there's absolutely no chance. There's not a chance in hell you get any money for it at all.
It's like we were just on about the FA Cup. Even if we got to say like a quarter final, we have a massive tie at home that... It probably won't feel any different to... You don't trust that the club will make it feel any different to a normal match, do you?
No. But the parking situation is changing. Ewood's really hard... It's really hard accessible. If you're driving, it's a nightmare. Like, I'd rather get a taxi down from being a taxi back in the moment. I can walk it in like half an hour. I'd rather walk it than ever drive down and park up.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, you could borrow Darwin Vale's car park and do a park and ride service. Just do five shuttle buses every and just forward and back. They've got the bus lane now, so you're at Ewood in like 2 minutes. Mm. Like, you just fly there and back after the game or before the game, and there's just, I don't know. I could literally sit about it and talk about it until we're blue in the face, couldn't we? But
the thing is, it's simple stuff. It doesn't. Yeah. It is simple stuff, and maybe like the lack of imagination comment. It's like, maybe, I mean, you've just come up with like three or four things there we can improve. It's, I just don't see why not. Like, just going back, even just going back to the pricing situation, we've got the third most expensive season tickets in the league, and there's, unless I've missed it, there's no, like, why, like, what, like, I mean, I'm sure the pricing situation has been brought up to the powers that be on many occasions, and yeah, it's never been addressed.
Well, it's always like, well, we need to make the money somehow.
Well, so do 23 other teams in the league.
Yeah, and then people say, like, well, why don't you lower the prices and get more fans in? And he's like, well, there's more stewarding, more policing, more staff.
Yeah, but you've got a better atmosphere. It's like,
he's got an answer for everything. Like, no matter what you're trying to address it, yeah, he has got an answer for everything, so why the price of that much? It's like half-season tickets. You can pay monthly, 3 monthly installments, 0% interest, 10% arrangement fee. So for people that can't stump up £230 right on the spot, which in January, December, November, whenever they come out, is a lot of money to just stump up for half a season ticket, they're going to charge you £23 just to have it arranged.
Yeah.
Why? Hull do a monthly subscription to get to that games. You don't do season tickets anymore.
No, that's the future.
And if you wanted, say you couldn't make two of the games, you can change it. You say, I don't want to pay this month, I want to come back next month.
Mm.
Like, why can't we do that? Why can't you just have an account where every game you go to, it charges, and that people shouldn't be forced to pay £430 up front, and then if you can't afford £430, you get charged an extra £40 on top, and then they're like, oh, it's 0% interest though. Well, it's not, is it? You might as well charge the interest if you charge an arrangement fee.
Thing is as well, something like that would work for everyone, because like, how many Rovers fans you see on Twitter that travel up from down south or Ireland or Scotland, wherever, you know?
Well, Saturday only season tickets. Yeah. How many we get? Even I, sometimes I can't be asked going, if it's freezing in December and you've got in from work. Well, I mean, I work from home now, so
some
now
days
I'm getting
you
from
do
work.
Think, like, I mean, you only live up here. Might just like, come down here, watch soccer Saturday, and you know, watch the results come in.
Well, there's been a couple of midweek games where I've come in here like expecting to get a taxi down with people, and they're just like, oh, well, we're going to stay in here and watch it on Red Button. But a Saturday only season ticket would be perfect for everyone. Obviously, if it ever gets moved for Sky, just credit their account. Sorry, or like email them and ring them up, say, this has been moved to Sunday, you still coming? Or,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, I know a mate of mine who's, we were talking about it recently. He's got, obviously he brings his kids, so he can't do the midweek games because, you know, he's got young kids, they've got to be
back for 11 o'clock.
Back for 11 o'clock, they've got school in the morning or whatever. And he was saying about the fact that games have been moved to Sky, kickoff times, all that. I don't think he's had a chance to get to a game since Preston.
Yeah,
like,
it's just shocking.
And yeah, I mean, even if you don't get much of an uptake, you'd like the option to have like a Saturday season ticket. And,
yeah.
And if you see, all right, I can make this Tuesday night, contact the club, just get it added on.
Right, it's £20 for this game, but because you've already got a season ticket, it's only a tenner, £15.
Yeah, get people in.
And it's so obvious. Like, we sat here now, and it's so obvious, like, for people to do. So when we were talking about the Saturday only season ticket, it makes so much sense. So like, people say, oh well, season ticket's only £20 a game. Yeah, but if you miss 3 games, it's now £24 a game.
Yeah.
And then if you miss every midweek game because you live far away, it's now £37 a game. Well, where do you draw the line? Do you think it's still good value for money if it gets up to £50 a game? If you go to a couple of weddings a year or whatever and you miss a Saturday game, is that good value for money still? Mm. And once people don't have a season ticket, it becomes even harder for them to say, well, I'm going to pay £30 for this Saturday. Like, once they've got that separation away from having to go because you've got a season ticket, it's impossible to get them back down. I had it when I worked shifts and I didn't have a season ticket, but I'd like get up on a Saturday and be like, it's £28 for today, can I be asked going down and paying £28? Once you've got food and like a couple of beers, it's best part of £50.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's going back to the fan situation as well. If you don't have a season ticket, you're paying £28 for a ticket, maybe your kid wants to go, so that's another, even if it's £10-15, you got food, you got drink, you got travel.
Yeah,
it's an expensive day out.
Yeah, it is.
So that's even if you have a season ticket. And the whole argument of, it, you know, it's 20 quid a game, it's only 25 quid a game or whatever. Not when you're paying all up front, it isn't.
I just think, is there nothing they could do with, like, local public transport where the buses, the trains are free? So, like, people like you from Langor, or even, like, people from the Ribble Valley, like Clitheroe and stuff, if they've got a match ticket, they should be able to get on train for free. We've gone through the Ewood Express. We've gone through everyone's arguing and bitching on Twitter. So we'll take a break from Blackburn Rovers and we'll go through the championship results. So Sunderland 2, Middlesbrough 0. Middlesbrough obviously down to 10 men at 0-0. Shocking decision from ref. He's outside the box. But how good is Ross Stewart? We need to sign Ross Stewart. Like, so aggressive and confident. And I know he missed the penalty and scored the rebound, but just like gets the ball halfway, like drives towards goals, powerful, strong, and I say wins the penalty, but it wasn't a penalty, so
it's a proper centre forward.
Yeah, an old fashioned centre forward, but actually technically good as well. Birmingham 1, Preston 2. 5 losses in a row for Birmingham, who we play on Saturday. I mean, just in time for us, really. That's what everyone does, doesn't it? Going in a stinking form before the playoffs. Preston, they just need to play away every week and they'll be up there. Bristol City 1, Blackburn 1, we spoke about that. Cardiff 0, Millwall 1. Millwall flirting with the playoffs but never actually like getting in there. They do this though, don't they? Yeah, just like, tickling the playoffs bumhole for a bit, like just never actually going in.
They do this though, they go on a decent run and then they just barely miss out.
Yeah, they just like scratch the surface of it every year, don't they? Never actually like get in. QPR 1, Swansea 1. Not really put any notes about that. 3 draws in a row for QPR though. Stoke 4, Reading 0. Probably the surprise of the weekend. And I know Reading aren't great, but Stoke have been poor for the majority of the season. But Alex Neil's got a good result from the middle of nowhere.
I were looking through like the fixtures on Friday night, mainly to like decide my acca, to be honest. but like, I did fancy Stoke to win, but not 4-0. Really a surprise result, that one.
And then Watford 1, Rotherham 1, which makes our point away at Bristol City look better, the fact that they're dropping points at home to Rotherham, who I know they beat us 4-0, but they're obviously a team down there and keeps Watford in touching distance of us as well, but they only a point above us now. Wigan 0, Luton 2. Luton and another team like Millwall that just flirt all season, like just right on the edge.
Well, Wigan are in free fall, aren't they?
That's a weird one, isn't it? Do you think they'll sack him? Because obviously they sacked Richardson. Obviously they were down there, but I thought he was doing all right.
Yeah, I think he'd have kept him up, Richardson.
Yeah,
like he was just in a rough patch. They've made the wrong appointment. I think it's blatant.
Yeah, it's a big risk. Like considering the situation,
like a brand new manager to it, it's
massive risk.
Yeah. But this is it though, they've appointed a new manager. There's been no new manager bounce, they've looked worse.
But I can understand like Torre coming in and having like the backroom staff at Wigan there, not like the people that know the championship, but he like appointed his own staff and they're like were he from Egypt or Japan or something like one of the head coaches. And I was just like,
it's like a learning curve for all of them.
For all of them, there's no experience there whatsoever. And I don't think the players will listen to him. I know it sounds bad, but Torre as a player, a good player, but like a bit of a laugher and joker. He's not going to be like this, the stern. Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't
imagine
him being like you know when like we're on about Arteta and like some of his like,
you want to play Champions League?
Some of his
outbursts.
Yeah, outbursts on
All
or Nothing on Amazon, and you know, sometimes you just like can't really see that.
I could see him being good on the training ground. I could see him still getting involved in fives and like being a bit of a laugher and joker. Yeah. But to set up in a tactic, I just couldn't listen to him. No chance. Coventry 2, Norwich 4. Good start with Wagner. Coventry 6 games without a win. Which when they finally caught up with games played, I thought they could be one of them on brink at playoffs this year. Yeah. And they've got I mean, we speak about Jokeres every week. Could just rename this podcast Victor Jokeres show. But yeah, they've got the team to be good at it. But they just seem, it's like people moan about us being inconsistent. If we went 6 games without a win, I'd be worried.
Yeah, definitely.
But like, I could never see us doing that. A minute, it's either like the poll. 1998 to AC Milan or 2008 Derby County. There's no in between, is there? Burnley 2, West Brom 1. I went to bed 1-0 down and I weren't confident. I just knew they were going to score 2. Just knew it was going to happen.
They're just in that knack, aren't they?
Yeah, that's it with Burnley, isn't it? It's like, they just don't look that loose. No. They don't even look that dropping points. It's like, they're the best team in the league.
Well, even like 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go, you still fancy them to turn around and win it. Where we go 1-0 down 30 seconds in and I don't fancy us to win it.
No, that's it. We could be 3-0 up in second half injury time. That's it. We're not winning.
Yeah.
But I mean, I hate to say it, but he's done a hell of a job, company.
Mm.
He's spent enough.
I mean,
but
people say like, oh, they're buying the league, but he's had the chance to bring in a lot of players. I'm not on about the value and the net spend or whatever, but if you get the opportunity to build a team from scratch, because basically they kicked everyone out, it was that it's obviously managed to sell these players that they've accumulated over the Premier League years, but obviously Thomason coming in the summer, he can't offload the team because one, no one wants him, and two, there's no assurances that you can get someone else in that, to replace him. So it's a weird. I mean, I think they've just spent another $8 million today on a striker as well.
The situations and the predicaments of both clubs were
completely opposite,
completely different. Yeah, when they both came in. So
yeah, and that's the worrying thing, that when they go up, you fancy them to stay up for a while.
Yeah, I think if they go up, playing, yeah, I think company will leave.
Yeah,
I think Guardiola will go, and I think company will leave as well. Mm. Sheffield United won 0-0. They're the same, they just keep winning, don't they?
Well, that's it. Top two decided, aren't they?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, there's nobody's catching them.
No. Right. So I say the 1-10 quiz, it's not 1-10, it's 1-8 today. Do you know how the quiz works, Chris?
Remind me.
So you pick a number between 1 and 8 and you get that question, right? If you get it without the options, you get 2 points. But if you get if you ask for the options and I obviously give them you and you get it right, you get 1 point.
Okay.
So it's worth it to guess it before the options, if you know the answer, obviously. Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Go second, right, Lewis. Pick a number between 1 and 8.
I'm going to go number 4.
Number 4. So, what is the nickname of potential suitors for Ben Brereton Diaz, Villarreal?
I'm going to have to go for the options.
Is it A, the Sunflowers, B, the Yellow Submarine, C, the Villains, or D, the Paellans?
B, the Yellow Submarine.
Correct. Yellow Submarine it is. Lewis goes 1-0 up. Right, Chris, any number apart from 4?
6.
6. Sorba Thomas wore the number 7 shirt at Huddersfield, but who currently wears it at Blackburn Rovers?
Tay Wedden.
Tay Wedden is correct.
My left back.
Right, Lewis, any number apart from 4 and 6?
7.
7. How many different colours are there in the Blackburn Rovers club badge? Is there a picture in here somewhere? I'm trying to see you like scanning your eyes. Check it for wallpaper now.
Check it out wearing shirt.
6.
6 is correct, yeah.
Good shout.
Can you name them?
Blue, yellow.
Blue.
Blue, yellow, green, white, black, red.
Red, yeah. That's only 5. Blue, yellow, green, red, white and black. Yeah, that's 6, yeah. Yeah. I know I got it right. Right, 3-2 up. Chris, 1-3 or 5 and 8?
1.
Number 1. So, Sorba Thomas got 12 assists last season, joint 3rd in the Championship. But which Rovers player finished 2 assists behind him?
Last season. You have to give it options.
Was it A, Tyrese Dolan, B, Ryan Hedges, C, Ben Brereton Diaz, or D, Joe Rothwell?
I feel I should know this. I'm gonna guess Rothwell.
Yeah, it was Rothwell, yeah.
That was really, even hearing options, it were like, is it Diaz, is it Rothwell? Yeah.
Diaz don't pass, or does it? It has to be a rebound from one of his shots.
Fair point.
Lewis, 2, 3, 5, or 8?
It's got 2.
2. Our cheapest adult season ticket option is the 3rd highest in the division, but which team in the Championship is the most expensive?
got an idea, but I'll go for the options.
Is it A, Middlesbrough, B, Sunderland, C, Watford, or D, West Brom? Were any of them your idea?
Nope.
Who do you think it was?
Norwich.
I didn't get Norwich fixtures because it's sold out from last season, early bird.
Right.
Bottom of the league, get early bird in.
Gonna go for West Brom.
Incorrect, it was Middlesbrough.
Really?
Yeah. Their cheapest is more expensive than our most expensive. I think it was like 525, the cheapest option. That's most shocking. Expensive was 625.
That's even worse than
that's
what
terrible.
We
yeah, it's shocking, isn't it? Yeah, for the Riverside as well, yeah. It stinks.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
For a place like Middlesbrough as well, like very similar to.
Yeah, very similar to their social situation, yeah, definitely. Right, Chris, 3, 5, or 8?
5.
So, after announcing his retirement from football, Gareth Bale has entered the pro amateur golf competition in California next month. But which famous course is he playing?
Ah, I saw this on Twitter and I can't remember what it is. You have to give me options.
Is it A, Pinehurst, B, Pebble Beach, C, Cypress Point, or D, Pine Valley?
I thought I saw it on Twitter. Pine Valley.
No, it was B, Pebble Beach. Did you know it? No.
Right,
it's 3 apiece going into, well, it's more or less sudden death now. 3 or 8, Lewis?
Number 8.
The League Cup final between us and Spurs was the first English Cup final to feature what?
To be played indoors.
I'll accept it.
Closed roof.
To be played under a roof, yeah. The options was a third kit, played under a roof, a Welsh referee, or a current international manager playing.
Right.
So I don't know if they might have been the first. I was just guessing with the rest of them. Yeah. But it must have been one of the first ones we had to have a third kit in the cup final. Surely.
Yeah, yeah. You'd think, wouldn't you?
And then was Hughesy manager going into that game? Was he Wales manager?
No, I think he was Wales manager the year after.
Right, so you're left with 3. Yep. Right. And this is a tough question to end with. Okay. Rovers did a final 5 offer last season for the final 5 home games, but how many points did we pick up in them games?
Right. Okay. So no Bournemouth we lost. I remember that one.
That was the last one. You need a straight answer to level as well.
4.
Correct.
Oh, come on.
3 losses. No, a draw against Blackpool.
Yeah, we drew 1-1, didn't we?
And then we got beat off Stoke at home, 1-0. Obviously at home. We didn't really speak about that. The final 5 offer was the last thing I remember us doing,
yeah.
Marketing-wise. And, it was 100 quid for 5 games and...
Yeah,
20 quid a ticket, that's not an offer, I don't think.
No, it's not. No, and it's 100 quid up front as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
which again goes back to
So often we say, though, 20 is plenty. I mean,
but 20 plenty should be your basic, so then the offer should be less than that.
Yeah, no,
it shouldn't be, we've made an offer to make it 20 is plenty. No, 20 is plenty should be your standard, and then there's an offer below that.
I know what you're saying, but we're not in that ideal place where 20 is standard, so
yeah, true.
You've got to
right. So it's a draw.
Take what you can get.
5 apiece after all 8 questions. I know it's a 1-10 quiz, but I mean, I was struggling with some of the questions. So you've got a tiebreaker. So I'll give you the option again, Chris. Do you want to go first or second in the tiebreaker?
Second.
Right, Lewis. So Ben Brereton Diaz is due to move to Villarreal this summer, but what is the capacity of their home ground?
That's a bastard.
You bastard! I can't speak!
To
the closest 1,000.
To the closest, whoever's closest. So you'll guess, and then Chris will probably go higher or lower if he's sensible.
I'm going to say 41,000.
Okie dokie.
Do you want an actual figure or do you want higher or lower?
It's up to you. You can go actual figure if you want to be as close as possible.
Lower.
Yeah, it is lower. Yeah. Do you have a guess?
Oh, right. 22,000.
Really?
That's quite small.
Yeah, they are a small town just outside of Valencia. So it's not like they're not like a massive city club or anything. So
I've just had him, yeah, because I remember him being doing.
Well, I remember getting to like European Cup semi-finals and stuff. So
it's like when I feel like whenever I've seen them play like an English team in Champions League on telly, like I feel like the ground's always been quite big.
Yeah,
well, they do a good job of making it
look good. Yeah, the stand's here and then the camera's like up here. Yeah.
Is that what full Diaz?
We're in top tier today, lads. Yes. Like, recording it for up here.
I think that's what's full Diaz. That's why he's gone off, because he thinks it's bigger than this.
Yeah. Right, so Chris wins a quiz, another defeat for Lewis. Right, so quick fire questions before you go, Chris. Forgot to do them during the podcast, so do them to end with. So, earliest memory as a Rovers fan?
They did a scheme when we were at primary school, and it was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was 3 weeks like indoor football and 3 weeks on the computers.
Yeah.
And I remember we only had 2 weeks of football, which was a bit annoying, but I remember it actually led to my first game, because we did, they didn't tell us at the time, but I remember when we were on the computers, they said come up with an anti-racism like slogan or a poster or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And mine was, I think it was make racism pay the penalty or something like that. And I remember teacher coming round. I remember him taking a bit of a shine to mine. I was like, oh, man, I don't know if it's that good. And he was like, keep it. No, I don't know, keep it. And I know why now, because afterwards he came up to us and went, that's going in programme and you're going to get a ticket for, I believe it was the Middlesbrough game, about a week or so after.
Yeah.
So I've still got the programme somewhere. They put all of our posters on there, or all the winning posters on there, and they told us to go out before the game, before players came out, and they had, I don't know if it was a flag, I think it might have been a banner or a flag or something, we had to walk round front end at Jack Walker and just back and forth, a bit stupid now, but we did that first game, and because we had to sort ourselves out at the end of it, I turned up 20 minutes late and we were a goal down. So that would go. My dad was sat there in top. He doesn't like football. He went because I was like 10 year old.
Yeah.
And he was like, so I get up there. Are you enjoying it? He doesn't enjoy football to begin with. And I remember we went 3-0 down. Two guys got sent off. And we had to leave early because my dad had work.
Yeah.
And just as we're walking out the stadium, literally like we stepped out of the doors.
Yeah.
And I overheard on the tannoy, goal for Middlesbrough, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. And so we got beat 4-0 and I was like, I should have learned, really.
Yeah, I should have learned that you're in for a life of pain and misery.
Exactly, yeah, I think I should have known. But after that, I believe we had a meeting. Not a meeting, but what are they called? You know where they have those, like, social events or whatever they are? Like, the club do them every season. Like, then did that Player of the Year awards?
Ah, right, yeah.
One
yeah.
of those, yeah. I think it was. And we end up meeting Paul Gallagher. So I'll always like Gallagher, no matter who he plays for, because he was such a lovely bloke.
Yeah.
And we got a ticket for Bolton game as standard. And we were studying Blackburn end it was. And we got beat 1-0. I remember Juve diving to get the penalty. And think even at 10-year-old, 11-year-old, thinking, this guy's a little prick. I don't want him playing for us.
And then when he came for us, yeah, you're like, get him a bucket shirt.
Fucking love Juve.
So yeah, that's your earliest memory, first game.
Yeah.
Favourite player of all time?
Tugay.
Favourite current player?
Brereton. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Brereton Diaz.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Worst memory?
How many are there?
The worst one.
I'm tempted to say the League One relegation, just because it was a sickness.
It was the lowest point, weren't it? Yeah.
It was, but no, Premier League relegation. Because it was so toxic. Yeah. It was a horrible season, a horrible defeat. He should not be named in charge. It was just a
horrible
year.
Night as well, when it was absolutely pissing it down.
Yeah, and that Wigan kit with like the dark blue and the bright. I can like still picture Alcaraz in that kit now.
Yeah. We're not like lime green.
Yeah, like highlight of yellow, weren't it? The sleeves and the collar. My worst memory of Millwall at Ormond Cup.
That's got to be up there. Yeah.
I was devastated. I stayed at Blackburn for about 20 minutes after that. I literally could not speak.
Yeah, I can't speak.
Choking on tears.
Oh, God. just even, I remember that, and even though, like, yeah, there's the whole, we should have got to Wembley that season. We were crap that season, but we should have got to Wembley.
Yeah.
But all it was just 90 minutes of playing long ball to Danny Shittu.
Yeah.
Like, peak Appleton, wasn't it?
So, I was thinking about, like, the FA Cup this season, like, earlier today, and, like, how we could, you know, potentially get to a quarterfinal or whatever. And I was thinking about those two seasons, 12-13 and 14-15, when we got to those two quarterfinals against Millwall and Liverpool. And it was just like the excitement, because obviously I was still young. Like, we're like 90 minutes away from Wembley. Like,
yeah. Like, before the Liverpool replay, we're absolutely bouncing, weren't we? Yeah, like the whole town was bouncing before it.
I remember the idea was that, like, Gestede, like, with his aerial threat, because he'd been so good in the first game at Anfield, he was going to be like our main threat, and like he was injured like start of the game, and he came on like after an hour, yeah, and the place absolutely rocked.
Yeah, for bringing the sub on it, right? Yeah.
I remember that taking an absolute feeling like it were an absolute age between the first game and the replay.
Yeah, it were. I'm sure we had like three league games between it.
There was some of the men that got pushed back, weren't there? Some of the,
because we had, like, if we'd have won that game, we'd have played Aston Villa in the semi, like, 5 days later. It weren't like a massive gap between that and the semi.
No.
Did Liverpool not have a Champions League game or something? So they couldn't do the replay?
Might have done.
Or Europa League. Or did not have Europa League semi against Dortmund, weren't it? Where Lovren scored in the last minute.
That was a year after. I'm sure it was 2016, that.
Well, anyway, that was my worst memory. Favourite kit of all time?
That's actually good, because we've had some decent ones. But.
Have we?
Not reached top. I'm actually going to go that 05-06 home shirt. I know it wasn't like the one with Lonsdale.
Lonsdale, yeah.
Not necessarily because of the kit, but because of what it represented.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, you just associate that with Bellamy up front.
Incredible season.
Reed in midfield.
Yeah, yeah. Reedy two guy. Savage. Yeah. Like Nelson at the back. Freeman.
Todd.
Rovers back in Europe and all that.
That
were when we were a proper side.
I like the away kit that year as well, the black one with the grey piping. I like that.
I don't think anybody gives that enough love. I thought that was a really nice kit.
We've not had a black kit since. No. I don't think.
I don't know.
We had the navy blue one with like the blue and white stripes on the shoulder, but not an actual black kit. And that's like all the rage at the minute. Everyone has a blackout kit, don't they? So,
and we've been saying like the past few years, like, why don't we try like the blackout kit?
Well, I mean, the marketing team are about 10 years behind, aren't they? Probably, when everyone's like moved on, they've gone back to like high-vis kits. So they'll probably bring out a black kit.
Yeah. I remember that red one the year we went down were all right.
Yeah, it was quite smart. The third one with a white collar. Played,
what, with the red and white, red and red stripes?
Yeah.
The Derby County goal?
Derby County goal. They were all right.
The Derby County goal? The 27 passes? Could he play out Blackburn End every week?
Yeah, I know, yeah. I seem to remember that kit for Mulgrew's goal at Newcastle.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Alex Marrow's handball. We're at Huddersfield away.
Derby.
We're at Derby.
Yeah, we're first game.
I'm sure we give a penalty away at Huddersfield. We don't draw 2-2. We were 2-0 up and we drew 2-2.
Was he there at that point?
I don't know, I might have been. I remember Danny Murphy scored the penalty for us, so that were I tried my best to forget it.
No. I remember he wasn't there at that point, because I know my mate went down on pub coach.
Yeah.
And he was, I seem to remember him walking up about the time Murphy took the penalty, because he was too busy drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Rovers, you got it. And because I remember that was, yeah, so Mara joined the year after. He were a weird one, Mara.
Yeah.
I know it's completely out of context. He were a fucking weird side.
He were a good change room character. Apparently Ben Marshall absolutely loved him. Like, he were top blokes having change room, like naked wrestling and stuff in bars.
I love like listening to like Marshall or like Graham talk about like the, like, as shit as were, like the Coyle days, and like they're talking about him in training, like Coyle.
Not bad for a wanker. Right, so that is us. Thanks very much for joining us, Chris. I'm sure everyone watching this knows Chris and follows him on Twitter already, so don't need to.
At @ChrisMartin_93, don't abuse me.
But if you see him at Blackburn, then you can abuse him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure we'll see you again at the next away game. But for now, that's all from us. Bring on the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back. It's like ages to Wigan game. I might wait. We might wait till after Wigan game. I don't know. Depends how Saturday goes.
Yeah. I mean, we've got to do something. If we get a good draw, you know.
Oh, yeah, if we get a good draw. Well, wait till after Monday, the draw.
Well, we might have to play again.
Oh, don't even. No, oh. Let's not go there. Let's not, on that note, we'll go. Right. Cheers, Chris.
Cheers,
we'll
guys.
See you in a bit.
See you later.
Podcast Network.